I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Hello, welcome to another spoiled movie review on the Black Outtest Premium content stream for all you people that pay to listen to podcasts. We appreciate it. Speaking of pay, we pay to go to movies, and this week we saw Star Trek Into Darkness. That's right, Captain Kirk finally fucks a black woman, and it's pretty controversial, people. Pretty controversial, pretty fast. But yeah, this is a spoiled movie review, so it's for people who either have seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck because we spoil everything. That's right, guys. Kirk dies. And then he's brought back to life in true impossible white man fashion.
Of course.
Now, of course, you recognize that voice that just spoke up. And that is Karen from Lip Smacking Good and the Blackout Tips. What's up, Karen? How you doing?
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing out there?
Sound like you just woke up from a nap.
I did, and it was scrumptious.
Inside information. And then we also have another person that just woke up from a nap. It's the homie Chris Lambert from the Mundane Festival podcast. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Ron and Karen?
Good. We haven't had you back since we talked about the very uplifting spiritual black movie 42.
Yep.
That's right.
So how fitting we'll have you back for a movie called Into Darkness. You know, because that's what blackness is for so many people out there in the world.
Now, I'm happy to be back.
Now we keep it very, very informal here. We have a movie scale where we rank things from 0 to 5. 0 being man, fuck you. And 5 being the fuck you waiting for, go see this shit. And the scale is called the More Epic Than Love Jones scale. So you can, tell us how much more epic than Love Jones it is, if at all. Now let's talk about the movie synopsis real quick. Star Trek Into Darkness is the second in the J.J. Abrams helmed franchise reboot kind of Star Trek. And it's more action-y type of movie compared to the TV series and the older movies. It stars Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana, and Carl Urban, Simon Pegg, you know, many other people that you're familiar with. The storyline is basically when the crew of the Enterprise is called back home, they find an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for, leaving their world in a state of crisis. With a personal score to settle, Captain Kirk leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what worked for us in this one. And I'll start with you, Chris, man. What worked for you about Star Trek Into Darkness?
I'd say pretty much everything. When it comes down to the direction, the acting, the story, one of the things I really like about J.J. Abrams is the fact that regardless of whether or not this is a big summer blockbuster movie, he makes you invest in the characters. And when they're in these blockbuster moments where things are blowing up, there's like a heartbeat to it, and there's a reason behind everything. So I just enjoy the story, and this is coming from a guy who's not a really big science fiction guy. I'm more of a casual, I guess, interloper into the science sci-fi scene, but I think it worked on a lot of levels. It was a great movie experience.
Yeah, I felt like they dialed back, for people who are fans of Star Trek, the series, they kind of, I liked in these movies that they dial back on the like jargon. I'm a big fan of the fact that they're like, okay, you know, let's not just keep throwing big words at the screen and people won't really understand it till later. Let's just keep it pretty simple. There's things we can understand. It's like, we got these torpedoes and they have nuclear payloads. Boom, got it. That's not good. We don't want those to go off, you know. As opposed to like, well, the dilithium crystal peptide is, and it's like, I don't know what this means. Is that good or bad? You know, so I appreciated that they kind of dumbed it down. Karen, what worked for you?
I liked Before I go any further, I didn't watch the original series of Star Trek.
What?
Because to me, that shit looked boring as fuck. So I'm not even gonna lie. I would be like, we floating around. We going to other planets. Y'all talking nonsense. Click, click, click. So when it first came out and I seen it, I was like, okay, it got action in it. That right there was a plus for me. Because I remember watching the TV series going, this shit is fucking boring. So I like the action. I like the action. I like the blowing up shit. I like the fights. I liked all that stuff, which is honestly kind of sort of completely opposite of the TV series. And I think for a lot of people who did not like the TV series would like this. Mm-hmm. Or people who did not watch the series could watch this and not be lost and not be confused and still could follow the characters. Because sometimes I think some people make the mistake of whenever they do this, they actually try to be so strictly, like a lot of nerds and a lot of the people go, I want to watch the same thing I already saw. Why would you already watched it? It's fucking boring. Drill me some new shit. So for me coming in, it was actually great. I liked the action. I like the fact that the action was like a live action Dead Space 2. Mm-hmm. Because I watched Roger play Dead Space 2 and 3, right?
Yes. I think you're talking about Mass Effect.
No, Dead Space. No.
Dead Space with the aliens that come out of the closet and kill people and shit?
Yes. And
okay.
The reason why is because you played the game and I seen one where you was playing and the gravity went off in that game and you was floating around, and the same thing with this one, the gravity went off and they was floating around trying to not from the killing and blowing up the alien standpoint, but from the action perspective.
Some of the action set pieces
were similar to that. Some of the, you know, the moving around without gravity, things falling around you, you trying to maneuver around things, that particular perspective. Not really, like you said, the shooting aliens, things like that. So I like for the fact that it was like a live action Dead Space from that particular thing. And I know for me, and I like the fact that, I didn't think that the plot was predictable. I know some people were saying that they think that the plot was predictable. I don't, and it may be because I didn't watch the series. So I really thought, okay, oh shit, the main character died. But for a lot of people who've seen the series, they was like, well, he never dies. I didn't know that because I didn't know that. For me personally, that was a bonus for me. I like the dude to play Captain Kirk, if I'm pronouncing his name right. Yeah, Captain Kirk. Mm-hmm. He really played the role. He was believable. I like the fact that he made me, you know, believe that he really had the strength to fight against all odds. He made me believe that when he didn't know what to do and he was lost and confused, he really didn't know what to do and he was lost and confused. He made me have compassion for him when he looked at them and was like, you know what? Y'all, I think I fucked up. We all about to die. You know, so from my perspective, he made me, I went on that roller coaster along with him. And I like the relationship between him and his co-pilot, or co-person with him.
You mean his number two, Spock?
Yeah, Spock. Mm-hmm. I like Spock, for the fact that, they made Spock have emotions. Yep. Even though Spock is technically an emotionless, you know, heartless bastard, honestly, if you watch the series. But for this one, you know, him and the relationship between him and his girlfriend, she got mad, and it was funny to watch their relationship kind of grow, because, you know, they're getting ready to go to another planet, about to die, you know, everybody don't know what's happening, and these two are back there having a relationship, fights basically in the middle of a gun battle, you know, on the spaceship, you know, talking about, well, I thought you loved me. No, baby, I do love you. Well, you didn't show me you loved me. You know, you was gonna go in the volcano and die and not care about me and my feelings. And
yeah, like a true black woman, all priorities all messed up. Middle of the mission, gotta start an argument. Mm-hmm. That must have been why they had Tyler Perry in the first one to write that part.
Hey, you never know. And I like the fact that when he finally explained to her why he felt the way he felt and why he, you know, shut that part of himself off, and how he does have emotion and he does have feelings and things like that, how her view of him changed and my view of him also changed. And I also like the fact that he at the end, it was almost like him and Kirk almost changed space places. It's like Kirk did what Spock would have did, and Spock did what Kirk would have did, you know, because they had a conflict with each other where sometimes they would get to the point where they kind of wouldn't understand each other or why each other would make decisions. Like Kirk was always, I need to fly by the cuff. I need to fly by the seat of my pants. You know, I don't mind making last second decisions. And Spock was like, well, these are the rules. These are regulations. This is what I'm told to do. I can't go outside of this. And so it was neat at the end. They literally changed space. Places. And then, you know, when we thought that Kirk was going to die, how that emotion fueled him to actually go out and do what nobody else would do. He was like,
Karen, you gotta be clear about your characters.
I'm sorry.
She's talking about Spock.
Spock.
Kirk dies, and then in the original Wrath of Khan, it's actually the opposite. Now that's kind of like some inside shit for fans, but
okay,
where it's like Spock appears to be dead, and then Kirk is the one who goes off, and he's the one who goes, Khan.
So okay.
They switched it in this movie, which was kind of a curveball for people that thought this was just going to be a Wrath of Khan kind of remake. And Spock is the one who goes to avenge Kirk by fighting Khan.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No,
but,
you don't need to apologize. I'm just helping the people.
Okay. People just following me along.
So
okay.
That was good. Cause I didn't realize that it's been so long since I've seen Wrath of Khan. So.
Yeah,
me too.
And see, I didn't know that either. So I thank you, sir. That's why we have you here. so for me, it made a difference once Spock got to that emotional side, and when he started flushing and pulling out those emotions, he began to question things and question, why am I feeling like this? You know, I don't understand. And he allowed that rage and that anger to allow him to go after the villain and allow him to.
Well, you kind of retelling the whole movie. I just mean, like, when I say what worked for you, just, you know, like, so Zachary Quinto's turn to Spock worked for you. And
yes.
The fact that he was they switched roles.
Yes.
From the emotional one to the cold, calculated one.
Yes. And also, I liked the villain. The villain did a good job for me, too. I liked,
Benedict Cumberbatch, who played Khan.
Yes, and
Cumberbatch.
He actually made me believe that he was a bad, cold ass calculated killer.
I loved his voice too.
Yes.
It was so deep, and like in the theater, you know, with the surround sound and shit, it's just like he was just talking so deep and gravelly, and it just like felt like a booming voice. Or he had great dialogue too, where he's like, When Kirk threatens him while he's in the cell, like, you know, you need to watch what you're going to say, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, what? You'll hit me until you get tired again or some shit. I was like, awesome. I was like,
he had a great presence too. Like, I really, just his physicality, that scene kind of reminded me of like those scenes where you see, was it Magneto and X-Men? Like, mm-hmm. He's behind that glass.
Yeah.
In that cell and whatnot. And he's just, this scene where he's killing all the Klingons and all that, he was great.
Yeah, he was very Michael Fassbender-y to me. Like,
yes,
yeah.
Show up on the screen, immediately draws all attention to him as an actor, and uh-huh. And then you just kind of want to see what thing he's going to do next, because it just feels very unpredictable, and especially, yes, with him being like a superpowered version of a human or whatever. It's just like, it's almost like watching an X-Man run around with regular people, which was cool.
Yes. And his intro was excellent. Like, when he came in, he just started shooting everything. I was like, who the fuck is this? Who's shooting everything up? And it was one of those things where, like, oh, that's who's doing all this. So I really liked that. So that's all that I liked about the movie. I basically liked the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Things that worked for me. Well, you already said Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan. He was great. I actually liked Zoe Saldana as Uhura.
Yes.
And this is the second time I can say that. And I don't really particularly like her much as an actress, but she this role, she is really great in, mm-hmm. Personally. The pacing was awesome. I never was bored.
No, like, that's true.
A lot of movies like this always feel the need to have some sort of like, some sort of like, okay, we need to have 20 minutes of exposition right now. We need to have like a bunch of talking, storytelling, and flashbacks. They did a good job of like thrown in like 2 minutes of explanations and then a fight and then 2 minutes of comedy and then a fight and then two, like a lot of just, you're constantly moving. It felt very kinetic. Crisp. First of all the characters, the writing was so well done. All the characters and their development for the most part was awesome because all the characters are flawed.
Yeah.
And J.J. Abrams does a great job of throwing like six or seven things going on at the same time in every scene. So there's, and he seems to never really drop the ball and forget about anyone, for the most part. So it's like you have this Uhura Spock, you know, argument, romantic argument that's going on for half the film, but it's not overwhelming. It's not, you know, thrown in your face. There's no, you know, 10 minute scene of them talking out there on the balcony. It's just kind of like, between Spock and Kirk arguing, Uhura says something.
In the background, yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff like that. The comedy was so well done, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like,
Bones was funny.
Right, and it's really difficult to, and I'm sure as a comedian, you can appreciate it, Chris. It's really difficult to have the setup line everyone knows is coming.
Yeah.
And get everyone to turn away from it for a second, like sleight of hand, and then surprise them with what we knew was going to happen. Like at the near the end where he's like, I'm a doctor, not a torpedo technician. And everyone right. in my theater is like, oh yeah, he says that. That's right.
He was great. Like he was one of my favorite parts of the movie, actually, for some reason. He just had this, it was something about him that like, cause it had been a while since I've seen the original, but I just was really drawn to him. Like, I'm in love with Carl Urban.
Yeah, even Simon Pegg as Scotty,
yeah.
you think would get kind of annoying. It's not. He's almost like a slapstick sideshow in some of these scenes where it's just like, right. Let's do some physical comedy. But he's killing it, and the mm-hmm. scenes are working for me, watching him fall around on some other spaceship and shit like that. I was just so impressed with that because it's so hard to pull off.
Yeah, it was a lot
in
of,
a good
it
way.
Was just fun to watch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, that's
did
the other
see
thing.
See it in IMAX 3D.
We didn't. We saw it in real 3D. I think not even IMAX, and it still looked. It was just a beautiful movie. The first one was beautiful too. The other thing I have to throw out there is my man Peter Weller. He's only like, he doesn't have it's a major role, but it's not like he's on screen for a lot of the time, but a lot of people may know him was it Peter Weller that did it? Yeah, a lot of people might know him as a dude to play RoboCop. In this one, in this movie, he plays Marcus, who's like this big ass general. High ranking person in Starfleet, and basically it's his fuck up that causes all the other sequences of events to occur.
Right.
That, basically awakens Khan, and, she was trying to basically create a super duper race of controllable soldiers, genetically superior to everybody and with superior strategies and savagery, and he was gonna try to harness that, and of course, like every white man, he lost control of the experiment,
of course,
and almost doomed the entire planet. Now let's talk about things that didn't work for us. I did this part a second because I'm assuming it'll be shorter, and I'll start with Chris this time. Was there anything that didn't work for you in this movie?
No, I think everything that you guys said that worked, it was the reason why nothing really kind of fell short for me. I mean, I think the fact, like you were saying, that they made it accessible to somebody who wasn't a hardcore fan, and I don't really have any complaints with it.
Okay. Did you have any problems with Spock tapping a fine black woman, man? Were you feeling racist about that, or you were cool?
No, because the Zachary Quinto guy is gay.
So. In real life. Okay, so you can, okay. You can rationalize it. I see.
And Zoe's skinny, though. She mad skinny.
She is skinny, man. Skinny. Don't get me started on Hollywood, bro. I don't get it. Like, I'm a good, like, I don't really have conversations about who's a hot actress, because
right.
and I'm in the high 90th percentile of people of the what's so attractive about her. And I know people think it's I'm full of shit when I'm not. Like, it really is always out down. It doesn't do anything for me. She's too skinny.
I think she's attractive. I was having a conversation about, somebody put on Facebook about Kate Upton, that she's like a healthy sized woman, and Victoria's Secret won't let her be a model because she's too big. But right. Like, she's just like an average sized woman.
Right.
And I don't even think she's really average.
Me neither. Mm. Yeah, I think she's kind of skinny. There was someone else people were, Kerry Washington, who apparently now everybody thinks is fine. I thought was way finer when she was like 15 pounds heavier, man.
Yep. Yeah. But, I mean, because she was a lot thicker like 10 or 12 years ago in Save the Last Dance.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just like, oh, she's cute. But then she really did the damn thing. Like, when I noticed her was in, She Hate Me. And then, of course,
I Think I Love My Wife.
Of course. Yeah. That one was just like, wow. And then
right.
Now, like, she's just skinny with like a big head.
Right. No offense to her. I'm sure I feel like I'm on the fringe. I'm sure there's way more men that are into her than I am, but it's just Jesus Christ, man. Some of these ladies, but, okay. So Karen, what, anything that didn't work for you in this?
Nope. I liked everything.
Were you mad that Tyler Perry wasn't in this one?
No.
Okay. Cause you are a resident black woman and you're from the South. So.
What did I gotta do anything?
Well, if someone was gonna be mad, it was gonna be a black Southern woman.
No, I'm, okay. In fact, I was glad. In fact, I'm gonna give it a higher rating just because you said that, sir.
There's two things that they're nitpicky things, and but I gotta bring them up. One, I thought the scale of this one went way back, way more personal, as opposed to the first one, which I mean it was personal for Spock, but. In the first one, it felt like everything had a much bigger scale. And in this one, it felt a little more intimate, even though, they were trying to set it up to seem like it would be a bigger conflict. And I think it's really because the Klingons didn't get involved and they just didn't have the time, or the backstory would have taken way too long or something. But, it felt like a more personal story, for Kirk and Spock and the crew coming of age.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like I said, it's a very nitpicky thing. That's not, you know, that's not bad. I still love the movie. Also I expected, I was pleased. I forgot to mention this is a good thing. I was pleased that they started with flawed characters and they end with flawed characters.
True.
I don't like movies where everything's always all good at the end.
Right. They wrap up everything.
Yeah. I kind of like that there's still a little animosity between Kirk and Spock. Like, you can see at the end of this movie, they're even kind of like, yeah, we cool, but you know, we got to work together and we don't always like doing shit the same way. And that, they realize that that's their strength, but there's also this kind of like standoffish respect. And I like that shit, man. They never really show true emotion and feeling for each other until shit goes completely wrong. Let's see. And then the other thing, and this actually is something that, like I said, is small, but I really feel strongly about this. I don't even think they needed the Alice Eve in this movie. Like Carol, I don't even know if you guys remember her. She's the daughter.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the daughter of the dude.
Yeah, of yeah. Marcus, the general dude. Peter Weller, played by Peter Weller. There's no point for her. Honestly.
Yeah, her character is pointless.
Right, like they have the one scene where she's in her bra and underwear, and they show it in all the trailers. And I'm guessing that's more what she was there for.
Of course. Because
they couldn't really integrate her with the crew, man. Like, and then at the end of the movie when she's like on deck, I get this feeling of like, well, that's kind of undeserved. Like. What does she do that really means she should be part of this crew? She lied to get on board the ship, but then there's no other real interaction with her. Like, I would have loved to see
that bomb, though, right? She defused the torpedo.
Yeah, she defused the torpedo. But I would have liked to see her have interaction with like Uhura or Spock, like just a couple. You know, just be involved in a couple of the scenes where. She's talking and now we're going, okay, yeah, whenever her life is in danger or when, the Marcus teleports her back onto his ship, I would want to feel some type of like, oh my God. Instead, the only time I felt for her is when she got her leg smashed by Khan.
Yes.
He
when I first saw her, I thought she was up to some shady shit. Like
me too.
I was like, oh, she's sneaking up on what's going on with her? But after she proved herself, I was like, all right, okay.
And another reason why I thought something was up with her, because Spock looked at her like, bitches, we got one scientist. We don't need two. Who are you? We don't need you. Why are you here?
Yeah, I would actually, and the thing is, I reserve the right to take all that back if she plays a big role in the third one. But in the second movie, it just felt like she was just there and she didn't have much to do. But, you know, shit happens. And, she wasn't a bad character or anything. I actually, it's a good sign that I want to see more of her. So, let's give it our overall, ratings now in the 0 to 5, more epic than Love John scale. I will start with you first, Karen. What would you rate this movie from 0 to 5, more epic than Love Jones?
I give it a 5 for somebody who has never seen, well, I've seen, but not really a big fan of the Star Trek series. I give it a 5. And if you are a fan of the Star Trek series, probably about a 4, maybe 4.5, depends on how much you wanted them to stick to the original plot.
All right. What about you, Chris?
I will give it a 4. It's gonna not enough black people to be more epic than Love Jones.
That's a good point. I was waiting for Bill Bellamy to show up, and I was very disappointed.
No Lauryn Hill on the soundtrack.
I would also give it a 4, because I thought it was a great movie, and very entertaining. 4 on the scale is full price opening weekend, and that's what it's worth. I think most people walk out of theater feeling very satisfied. And people should go check it out. So that's our review. Make sure you guys go check out Chris's podcast, The Mundane Festival. It's on iTunes and Stitcher. And it's a very good show, guys. If you want to know some stuff about being a stand up, if you want to know stuff about, you know, living in a big city, you want to know stuff about getting on these hoes, it's very fun listening. You guys can go check it out. He's gonna be talking about movies and Pretty Little Liars and all kinds of shit, man.
Pretty Little Liars next week, season 4.
Very complex man, people. A very complex man. And also, of course, thank you guys for listening to the Blackout Tales Premium selection of podcasts. We will be back sooner or later with more spoiler reviews. So thank you guys for listening. Peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
Life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.